I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Starting a business on your own can be lonely and worrying. Selling online multiplies this issue tenfold. Getting expert help is a great way to reduce anxiety, wasted time, and confusion. The Amazing FBA Mentoring Program is in its fourth year of helping sellers to get started on Amazon. By now, we have former clients who have, starting from scratch, done six figures and even in one case, seven figures a year. Obviously, these are not typical results. These are exceptional people. Nevertheless, we can help you get launched faster, safer, and with a much higher chance overall of success. With clients from Melbourne, Australia to Manchester, England, we bring a genuinely international perspective. To find out more, go to amazingfba.com/mentoring. Thanks for listening. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is Michael Veazey of Amazing FBA. Warm welcome to the show and welcome to 2020. Happy New Year if you're listening to this in January when I'm recording it and putting it out. This will be relevant, I think, this process that I'm going to talk about today, the stop, start and keep process. So I think this is a sort of very, very useful, simple but profound business tool that I've been taught in the past by some business coaches I've been coached by. And I think it should be very useful to you at this particular point in the year. Now, traditionally, at the beginning of a calendar year, we start with our New Year's resolutions. And for many of us, that involves fitness. So I'm going to join a gym myself. I say that. Let's see what I actually do, shall we? But I plan to join a gym is more honest statement in order specifically to go to yoga classes and Pilates, because I need to get myself in better physical shape. I'm going to get back to my running as well. So those are the typical sorts of things that people do. And of course, one of those resolutions is often to start an Amazon business or to expand your product lines. Or maybe if you're an extremely experienced seller that you may be considering an agency offering of some kind, as many people end up doing. So that's all very well. But one of the things, I had a very good life coach at one point, which is not a phrase that's very in fashion anymore. In the 90s, late 90s, it was all the rage because everyone was taking the NLP type thing and trying to become a sort of mini Tony Robbins. And I'm a fan of Tony Robbins. And this did work for me, even though it's sort of a bit of a disparaged term now. But one of the things he pointed out very wisely, I thought, was that it's a biologically low ebb time of year, really. I mean, the reason we start the calendar year in January is a bit of a mystery. The old Roman year, or the traditional year actually in Britain until, you know, a few centuries ago, started in spring. And that's the biological time of year when things start, isn't it? It's when the lambs start frolicking and appearing. The buds of daffodils are pushing up through the ground and the sun is out and, you know, people wake up as well. So there is something about January being so not so much a good time for creating new things that require a lot of energy, but reviewing quietly and killing off things that are actually taking your energy or not working for you. So you can very neatly encapsulate that into the stop, start, keep list, or whichever order you want to do. So I'm going to do that for my own business, Amazing FBA. And I'm not so arrogant as to think that you care deeply about what's happening with me and my business. But the point is, this is an example for you that you could apply to your own business and indeed, of course, your own life. But I am not a life coach, business coach, I guess, broadly speaking. So that is what I suggest you focus on. So let's start with the keep list. It's a very unsexy thing, but actually reviewing your activities and deciding what to keep is actually very, very helpful. And the same is true for product lines. One of the things I'm going to do is keep the PLP course, the private label process course, because I've mostly ended up using it for mentoring clients and they found it very helpful, but I will be restructuring that. So a structured approach to things can be very, very useful. You may have an equivalent in your own life. One of the other things I'm definitely going to be keeping this year is the masterminds. The masterminds in London-based that have been running for over 2 years now. They're very small groups, about 10 people each. And this is kind of my fourth iteration, which shows the power of iterating on something, which you have an instinct is a good idea, but in practice, maybe not doesn't work well the first couple of times. My first iteration was to create a mastermind for myself just to have some peers to talk things through with, particularly around the issues of sourcing in China. Because when I started off the course I followed, did not cover this in detail, which was really, really bad, because 80% of us or so, 90% maybe, are going to end up sourcing products from abroad, mostly China, although these days that has its challenges. So for that reason, I created a mastermind. I quickly discovered, of course, I was one of the only people actually doing anything. People met, they talked a lot, but they didn't do stuff. So that wasn't a very helpful set of people to hang with. Second iteration of the masterminds was a lot later, when I ran masterminds for newbies or beginner sellers. I suppose I should use a better phrase, startups. One of the problems I have with, I would differentiate between the word newbie and startup in the sense that most people don't start. In other words, they never get to the point where they have revenue. And I would call a business that doesn't have revenue not a business. It's an idea. It may be a profoundly hard worked on idea. You may have even spent money, but I don't think you're a business, or you own a business rather, until you've got revenue, my personal opinion. And the problem with a lot of people in those groups that I got together of people who hadn't started is most of them never did start. There were some good people and there was some useful exchanges, and some people did start. So I'm not down on those people. And they were reasonably consistent at showing up in some cases, but many people didn't even show up. They'd pay me for almost a year's worth of subscriptions and didn't show up. So I actually killed off a business, a bit like owning a gym where nobody turns up, or very few people. I actually killed off that part of my business last year because I felt bad about it. I felt like I wasn't giving value to the people in the group, even though they were paying me. So that was probably a bit ridiculous of me, but I like to feel that I'm exchanging money for value. And the great thing about the 10K Collective Mastermind that kicked off a couple of years ago, because I put a minimum bar on it for, it started off as $10,000 a month minimum turnover, and it's quickly iterated up into, you know, much bigger turnover. So the minimum you'll need to get into that group is about £40,000 a month, mostly, depending on your background and who you are. But that's been a fantastic success, because people do people. So in other words, let me explain that rather banal phrase. If somebody is an action-oriented person, they're probably going to take a lot of action. If somebody spends a lot of time doing paralysis analysis, they're probably going to keep doing that. So that's been my experience. I'm not condemning anyone to that as their future. If you've been stuck in paralysis analysis, you probably can break out of it by using the right coach or mentor and or mastermind. I don't run masterminds currently for beginners, but I do one-to-one mentoring, and one of the big blocks that comes up is paralysis analysis, and we do break people out of that in many cases. So if you want to check that out, by the way, amazingfba.com/mentoring. I will probably have some deals going if you're listening in early January, because I'm looking to pay my tax bills by the end of January, so I tend to offer deals around this time. Nevertheless, the mastermind's been a huge success. People have been huge action takers. They've loved hanging out with other action takers because they're not easy to find in the real world. And that isolation is a dream killer. And the interaction has been fantastic. We've got a very active Facebook group. And several cases, people have got have doubled their revenue each year for a couple of years in a row now. And three or four people have got to the $1 million run rate, one of whom specifically said the other day in a mastermind, and I wish I'd had my camera out at that point, he did actually say, "I don't think I'd have done it without this group," which was a profound validation of the work we've been doing. And I love that. And the fact is that people aren't paying that much more. They're paying just over, you know, £125 a month, $150 equivalent. For the previous mastermind where people didn't do anything, they were paying about £50 a month or $60-70. It's not such a profound price difference. So it doesn't make such a profound difference to me personally in terms of my income, but it makes a big difference to my satisfaction, because I love the energy and the self-fulfilling, the momentum we got going in there. So I would urge anyone who can to join a group of their peers. At the moment, I don't offer a mastermind for beginners anymore, but I will be offering one for those doing at least six figures a year. I'm going to call it something like the six-figure mastermind, imaginatively. So at least about $8,000 a month, if you want to put it in dollar terms. I'll tell you more about that later, because this is the keep bit rather than the start bit. What else am I going to do? I'm going to keep working with quality one-to-one clients. We've had some lovely successes this year. One of my clients that I worked with, I think nearly 2 years ago, initially with some mentoring one-to-one work with him and his business partner, came back to me a few months ago and said, "Mike, I've hit this. I've managed to hit $250,000 in revenue within 10 months space. May I join your 10K Collective Mastermind?" Normally, I would see that as a rather low level of revenue these days to let somebody in. But I knew from working with him that he had a really solid business background, that he's managed to create leveraged outsourced businesses in the service kind of side of things rather than physical products. So I trusted that he was going to be a valuable member and let him in. And guess what? He has been. So it's fantastic to have it. If you're like a homegrown or semi-homegrown member. That sounds like a terrible phrase, semi-homegrown. What I mean by that is this really very important point to put across. No single mentor or course or mastermind, for that matter, is going to save you from yourself. You are who you are. Everyone else can help you or enhance, or for that matter, block you or not help you from fulfilling your potential. But your energy, your money, your time, and your commitment, and your mindset, those are things that the rest of us can enhance a little bit, but we can't change it. So if you're going to a coach or a mastermind to try and get them to change your life for you, that's already the wrong mindset for most personal change or business change, I would argue. But specifically for entrepreneurs, it's a disaster. You have to be a self-driven person as an entrepreneur. But having said that, you don't have to isolate yourself. You'll probably succeed anyway if you're the right person, but you'll be more miserable and you'll go slower and with more risk. So that's my experience with that. So one of the things, moving on to, just before we move on, one of the things about quality clients is I'm afraid to say that they come with plenty of capital that is matched with the size of their ambition. So if somebody wants to turn over, literally, I've had one client who's applied for mentoring recently who said they wanted to create $3 million in, I believe, sort of retained capital. I don't think they were even clear in what form, basically cash left after running their business. And they had a budget for starting off of $6,000. Now, I guess that I haven't had a conversation with this person yet, and I'm hoping that they will have a further $100,000 that they can draw on over the next couple of years to invest in that business. Because for me, that's a real mismatch. And having huge, lofty goals is great. And yes, you can hustle your way forward to some degree. But I think this brings me really onto the stop list. What am I going to stop doing? I want to stop working with people who aren't realistic about the fact that this type of business model, an e-commerce business model of any description, particularly if you're selling your own products anyway, with private label type products, is very capital intensive. If you're going to invest in property, if you're going to invest in mini bits of property, otherwise known as inventory-based businesses, so e-commerce, if you're going to invest in stocks and shares, Forex, anything that requires capital, you are going to need to have a substantial amount of capital. And I'm really sorry to be the guy to break this to you, because if I told you you could start with $1,000, I guess a lot more people would buy courses and mentoring from me and I'd make more money. But again, I wouldn't feel good about that, because it will eventually tarnish my reputation, because I'll be unrealistic. And I think optimism is important for entrepreneurs, and we've got to believe in the possibility of achieving great things. And 100%, I don't have to believe. I just look at the evidence around me in my Amazon seller friends and the guys in the masterminds to know that absolutely you can make a lot of money and have a fun time doing so. But the reality of that is also you need to bring substantial capital to bear. So one of the things I'm going to stop doing in 2020 is working with one-to-one clients who don't have enough capital, and or there's a massive mismatch between what they want to achieve and the capital they're willing to put in. What I mean by that, rather, is two things that you should be wary of not mishearing here. One is, obviously, there's an instinctive wariness when an entrepreneur or an internet marketer like myself says you should spend more money on this area. Naturally, you start thinking, oh, goodness, Michael's going to pitch me on a $5,000 mastermind or course or whatever. And, you know, maybe I should for my own income. Guess what? I'm not going to do that because I don't offer that. What I'm saying is not spend more money with me or a coach or a course. I'm saying be prepared to spend substantial money on two things: inventory, because it's an inventory-based business, and marketing, especially image marketing and advertising. You've got to get traffic to your Amazon listing when you launch, and you've got to have a fantastically converting listing when you've got that traffic there. And if you skimp on your photography costs or your graphic design, or you don't bother spending money on advertising, or you're not willing to lower your price of the product when you launch, that combination is going to kill your product launches stone dead. So the opposite is be prepared to spend substantial money. It doesn't mean you should spend it upfront in one go. You can iterate through different things, and that's what the PLP course is all about. The structure of that is also the private label process is what that course name PLP stands for. And the private label process is the same thing that I work with anyone, whether I'm mentoring one-to-one or in the course, which is to say I would prefer you to iterate through different levels of expertise yourself in the Amazon game. So start off with some arbitrage and then also iterate on particular markets, unless you're very risk-on person, have a lot of capital and really in a hurry. You probably should do some test launches before you do a full private label launch. That's not true for all people, but that's basically how it works. But in the end, however you start, you're going to need to have your access to particular capital. So I'm going to stop working with people who aren't well capitalized. And I think that's also one of those things that you should think about for yourself hard. If you want to start a private label type business, and we're going to talk in a second about what I mean by private label and where I see that going, you really need to be real about the fact that you should have several thousand dollars as a very minimum tucked away for the first 6 months of operations. And you need to be prepared to get your hands on, if you can, tens of thousands of dollars if you're going to really expand this business. And if that's disappointing news, then I've got some good news for you in a minute under my start stuff, what we're going to start doing in 2020, partly to solve this very problem. So more to be revealed in a second. First of all, let's talk about the private label. What does that mean? One of the things I'm going to stop doing or teaching and working with people in is, over the course of the year, I think pure private label. Now, what does that mean? What does private label mean? Well, I mean, literally taking a product that exists in a certain format and changing only a few things. You put your logo on the product, you put your logo and you create a unique design for the packaging. And you probably, if you're wise, own a trademark around that name or the brand name or the name of a product line or whatever, and any or all of the above. Now, that is a pure marketing play with no differentiation in the actual product. The problem with that is that if it is not differentiated in one of two ways, you're going to be very hard put in 2020 to persuade the now very experienced Amazon shoppers out there to buy it. If it's not functionally differentiated, i.e. it works in a different way, or visually differentiated, i.e. it looks different. And that's really critical when it comes to getting the click on page one on that main image. That if you manage to rank your product, you've got to get that click. And if it looks exactly the same as everything else out there, you aren't going to do well. So in other words, a purely marketing-led play without regard for the product being different, I think is going to be very difficult by the end of this year. And I think it's already pretty difficult. So from that point of view, that may be one of the stages of iteration that we go through in order to get your feet wet and get a feel for a market and get some data via Amazon ads and from experience and from customer feedback, etc. So there's nothing wrong with it as a phase, but I believe we need to get to the phase of customizing your product, however lightly, as quickly as possible. Now, under the start doing things type of area, I guess we're already doing that. So it's probably a keep thing, which is to say that I'm going to keep working with clients and working with people who are able to, at a relatively low cost, produce some kind of customized version of a product. Ryan Shaffett of XQ Manufacturing, who I interviewed for the podcast in 2019 and should get back on, has been very helpful with a couple of my clients in managing to get a product out there in a very low order quantity for maybe under $2,000 to test an actually customized product, which has been lightly altered from the original, but significantly enough that it is functionally really quite different from the other competition. And we're just about to launch that, so I'm quite excited to see the results, but I'm absolutely convinced that it's the right way to go. And this is another thing I'm going to keep and indeed expand, is the emphasis on the customer avatar coming first, really not being product-centered, not even being keyword-centered, like so many people when they start off on Amazon, but trying to dig through the keywords to get to who is buying and what pain are you solving for them? The PAP, as I call it, the person and the pain. The more I speak to really great business people, the more that is absolutely at the core of their philosophy and their business daily practices as well, including some great guests we've had this year. So that is something we're going to keep and indeed expand. So when I say we're going to stop pure private labeling, what I mean is the practice of just putting your logo and different packaging on a product in order to test a market at a scale is fine. Expecting that to give you a product which has defensible product profit, I should say, over the next 2 years or so is, I believe, unrealistic. I think that the trend's already been there for several years, that such plays will tend to lose their profitability in some cases within a few months, which is a problem when you've got to order stock at least 3 months in advance if you've got 1 month manufacturing time and 2 months on the water, as is typical. So solution is get started with a generic product if you need to. So no private labeling at all, then private label if you wish, but by all means, but get to that custom product as soon as you can. And in many cases, you can even start off with a custom product. Depends on your individual situation. Again, if you want some individual one-to-one help, I do offer that. If you just go to amazingfba.com/one-off, or I think it's just one off, numeral one off. Let me just double check that while I think of it. Then you can actually get a one-off consultation with me that you're not committed to any future expense with me, but I can just give you feedback on your product choices before you go and get them made. Yeah, so it's amazingfba.com/one-off, 1-O-F, Freddie, F for Freddie. And you know, you don't have to work with me, but you'd be very well advised to work with somebody before you start ordering large amounts of product and putting it out there in terms of, you know, what your strategy should be for you personally in your situation. And that's if it's not me, if it's somebody else's experience, then go get some input on that. So talking of the start side of things then, so we talked about what I'm going to keep. Just a quick revision. I'm going to keep the masterminds because they're really killing it. I'm going to keep the quality one-to-one clients as long as they have sufficient capital and are really committed. People say they're committed, by the way. They probably mean it. I don't think they're lying to me. They're lying to themselves. They think they're committed until they hit a road bump and then they go, oh, this is taking a bit longer than I wanted, which is true for most things in life, right? It's going to cost more than I wanted, which is true for most things in life. For example, I got a property recently with my wife and guess what? The boiler is rubbish and we had to replace that for a painfully large amount of money. And we had to replace the microwave because that was kind of literally catching fire, and we had to replace the gas hob, and it's all cost like three times more money than we wanted, and it's taken a huge amount of my time in the Christmas period when I want to be with my family. Guess what? If you're an entrepreneur, you just roll with the punches and get it done, because in the end, the payoff from that property will still be immense, I believe, over the course of, you know, years, maybe even decades, and that's the time frame I prefer to think on these days. So, having said all that, here's what we're going to start. One of the things we're going to start is there is a problem for an opportunity for people who have a small amount of capital, but are very hungry, genuinely hungry and committed entrepreneurs and want to develop an e-commerce business. There is one traditional opportunity there, which I'm not going to start teaching myself because I have no experience in, which is retail arbitrage. Not only no experience, but I don't believe in it as a business model particularly, so I'm not the right person to work on it. But I have worked with several people, my old business partner, Rob Sleeth, who's fantastically knowledgeable on so many Amazon things. And that's one of the things to start is to reignite that relationship with Rob and getting back in. So Rob, if you're listening, you heard it here first. I will get in touch. I've just been frantically busy, but I know so many great people and I want to work in more strategic partnerships with them. And one of the areas is going to be retail arbitrage, to put together sort of, if you like, a coalition of different service providers who can, together with the research needed, the sourcing advice, maybe just simply a course that gives you the overview. I'm not going to be teaching or doing those things myself, but I do feel that I should be putting people their way, as in, you know, somebody who hasn't got much money but wants to get started with Amazon and wants to turn the cash over quickly. It has to be said, January is not a great time to be doing arbitrage, but you can start learning now, and by the time, you know, people are digging back into their wallets in April, May, June, you can be preparing yourself such that you get to Q4 2020 ready to kill it, which is when, of course, in retail arbitrage, it's really fantastic time, particularly in toys and games, but many other things. So that's one thing I'm going to start doing. The other exciting thing is that we're going to be working, dealing with a wholesale as a different business model, which I think is halfway between the sort of upsides and downsides of retail arbitrage and the full-on private label thing, which, as I've said, particularly if you're creating custom products, does demand more capital. So I partnered up with Dan Meders, I'm sorry, Dan, if I've said your name wrong, of thewholesaleformula.com, which is a very, very good place to go to. Those guys are very experienced. I've interviewed Dan earlier in the year for the podcast, and they have got a launch of their course, which only launches, I think, once a year, maybe twice, but it's pretty infrequent that they open the doors because it's pretty intensive. And they are going to be opening their doors in early 2020. I'm going to be putting the word out about that quite hard. And the reason is, okay, let me be honest, of course, it's a sales opportunity for me as a marketer, but above all, the reason I asked them in the first place and wanted to get involved is because I think it plugs that gap between retail arbitrage, which is very sort of labor intensive and not very leveraged, private label, which is very capital intensive but will give you the opportunity to do to get some serious income in a much more leveraged way, versus the wholesale model, which is a lot less capital intensive and in some ways reduces some of the risks of private label. So wholesale, broadly speaking, is that you're either going to buy from a manufacturer or brand owner and sell their products on Amazon for them, which means that you've already got a brand. You're going to pick listings that are already very, you know, the products are very good, but the listing isn't optimized. So you're going to have some easy wins. And the other option is to try and persuade them to just work on a purely on a basis where you basically work as a kind of consultant for them and take a percentage of the money. Now, it's not as good in some ways as a private label situation in that you don't create a sellable asset that you can just sell at the end of the game. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's the end game, but I think as a starting point, or as a different business model that worked for some people, that's incredibly worth exploring and very well should be part of the mix for you. I know a couple of people in the masterminds who have done very nicely for themselves using this kind of model, very close relationships to some brands, and they are now creating private label on top of that because they want to create a sellable asset. So you can blend these business models over time, but I'm very excited about that indeed, because I think it solves a lot of the problems that I see with the retail arbitrage model, where it's very labor intensive and not leveraged, and it solves some of the barrier to entry question for private label type businesses. So that is one of the things I'm going to start doing in 2020 quite vigorously. Generally speaking, I've already talked about this, but I'm going to be working with selected trusted partners more intensively in 2020. I think I know a lot of fantastic, you know, decent, honorable, and also very competent people. As I say, you know, if you know somebody with very poor moral values, you've got to hope they're intelligent, unintelligent, and lazy, because somebody intelligent and hardworking and dishonest is going to really mess you up. And there are some people like that around in any internet marketing driven space. I'm pretty selective about the people I have on the podcast, but I'm going to become even more selective about creating some really more deep partnerships with some trusted partners, partly things like the wholesale formula with Dan Meadows, the retail arbitrage partners I'll be sussing out over the course of the next few months based on, you know, people's real experiences who know what they're doing, as well as people starting out early but who've had early successes. And that's really something I'm pretty excited about, because I think relationships in the end are at the core of what I do and the core of a lot of ways of being successful online. And it's not the only sort of driver. I think being very analytical skills can be very good. Being a very hard worker and having a sort of crazy work ethic can help. But for me, I think connection is what I offer the Amazon world. And I believe that I'm very well placed having run the masterminds for a couple of years. I've got some amazing Amazon sellers here, pretty close friends in some cases in the UK I've known for several years, and lots of amazing people have come through the doors in the podcast, and got quite close relationships with some of those guys as well. So I'm really excited about that one. Talking of a couple of things that I'm going to be keeping going, but slightly sort of redoing. One thing I mentioned is masterminds. I think they are, in the end, connecting with a group of your peers, as long as they're the right peers, they really are your peers, i.e. they're action takers above all, is really, really powerful. Again, talking about connection, that's a really powerful thing that I'm always jealous of the incredible support that the 10K Collective Mastermind members are getting from each other. So one of the things I'm going to restart is the Million Pound Mastermind, which had several meetings quite a while ago now. They were very, very successful, but the numbers were hard to get because there just aren't that many people out there doing at least £1 million a year in Amazon revenue. And I do mean pounds. So about $1.2 million or £1.2 million, in fact, was the £100,000 a month was the barrier I set. So that's obviously quite a high barrier, and a lot of people don't qualify for that, and very few people do. So I'm going to have to hunt those guys out, but we have almost got enough people to get that running again, which is very exciting. We had some amazing discussions with those guys. They're really cool as well. They're really action takers, but they're actually pretty humble in a lot of ways, those guys, because they have been beaten up. They've somebody who's lost, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in a year, or has had an account suspended for a few months that was doing a lot of money, as can happen with the biggest sellers if they've been around for long enough. They get humbled by life. So they're neither kind of arrogant, nor are they falsely humble. They're just very action oriented and very, very thoughtful in a lot of cases as well, just smart people. So I'm really excited about that. If you want to check out the £1 million Mastermind, you can find out about that at amazingfba.com/MPM, M for million, P for pound, M for mastermind. And as I say, we'll be running that again from sort of early-ish mid-2020. Really excited about that one. Another thing that we're going to do with masterminds, as I said, I'm going to set up the six-figure mastermind, which is for those doing at least $100,000, and I do mean dollars a year. I suppose I should keep one denomination of currency, but hey, let's keep it exciting. So $8,000 a month. And I guess I put it in dollars rather than pounds to deliberately put the bar low enough to be, you know, substantial enough number of people out there to get together, because there is a particular sort of difficult spot when you've got started, but you're not really going for it yet. It's not really working. You're certainly not able to go full time with the business. And that's a difficult sort of, you know, sort of when something goes from being a baby to a toddler, it's still unsteady on its feet. And I think there is a great need for a mastermind at that level, because it's a particularly tricky phase. I've got several people, a couple of whom I'm working with one-to-one mentoring, and a couple of people I've mentored in the past, who are very up for this. And so again, that is very close to being core eight, so enough people to run it. And I would imagine that we'll be getting going within the first quarter of 2020 with that as well. I don't have a sales page for that yet because it is that embryonic, but I have had conversations with individual people who are the right kind of people and who are very interested, as I said. So the best thing you can do if you're interested in that, if you qualify for that, you need to be doing at least $8,000 per month on Amazon or in e-commerce, including some Amazon, because the Amazon is the primary focus. That doesn't mean we won't be including looking at Shopify and off Amazon marketing, because as things diversify in 2020, I think that is going to be an important part of the picture. But I guess Amazon is the best expertise that I have, and the other people are likely to have to bring at least to start with. So if that's you, just drop me an email, michael@amazingfba.com, F for Freddie, B for Bertie, A for Alpha.com. Talking of which, we do have some partners in the Shopify world. It's not my expert subject on Mastermind, but it is an important area. So we'll be getting back some trusted partners in that, particularly Jason Miles of Winning on Shopify. Jason and I has worked pretty intensively for a period when he was my business coach, and may do again at some point. He's a very smart guy, very personable, and he's very good at training people in how to get into Shopify. And he and his business partner, Kyle, work very hard at how to combine and how to use the different channels for different purposes. So Amazon is an incredible place to at least check that your product, pricing, design, look and feel, packaging, that the sort of basic offer is correct. But then if you want to create your own Shopify store, then at that point, when you've sold at least $10,000 worth, is their rule of thumb on Amazon of a particular product line, is when they say, okay, it's time to transition that over to Shopify. And in fact, I think the distinction can be an artificial distinction. So one of the things I'm going to keep and expand, if you like, I suppose this is probably in my keep list, is off Amazon marketing as a real focus, because we've had a 10K Collective Mastermind, 10K Collective podcast recently with Davis Nguyen of Vietnamese origin, amazing guy. And he is somebody who works mostly outside the Amazon space, but has worked with e-commerce sellers. But he's very, very good on things like Reddit and Quora being great opportunities. And then good old Google as well is something that Ashley Pierce, who is one of the Mastermind members, will be coming back on to talk about as well. Because in the end, the distinction between Amazon and other platforms is an artificial distinction. In the end, you need to create a business that makes use of wherever the market is, wherever people are. So in the end, as Gary Vee says, look, a platform or a channel is not a strategy, it's just where the people are, which I think is a nicely simplifying statement. So I'm not saying that it's simply everything equals everything else. Shopify is a different sort of business model, for that matter, WooCommerce and Magento, and Amazon works differently. But creating a blend between different platforms is one of the things that I really want to keep going with. And I think off Amazon marketing, but selling on Amazon is an interesting blend. So blending off Amazon and on Amazon tactics and strategies, I think is a real trend that if you get ahead of that and you can find a good quality traffic source that is not where the competition are yet, and you can drive those guys to your Amazon listing in some form or other, or possibly to an email list and then onto Amazon, that can be a really exciting play. And I think that's going to be a very viable and indeed vibrant option in 2020. The last thing I want to mention is that I do think there is a place for the Humble private label course as a place for people to get started for their first year or so of operations. And I am going to be creating an iteration on the PLP course, the private label process course, which exists already. People are finding it useful and it's very, very thorough. That can be intimidating for people, but if you're serious about this, what it does mean is you don't have to keep going back to Facebook groups and asking questions, because most of the obvious questions are things I've encountered or my clients have encountered over the years. And we've got a solution for it there in a little video or possibly a downloadable PDF that will help solve 90, maybe even 95% of the normal problems you'll come across. The rest of it, you probably be best off booking a mentoring session to deal with. But PLP 2.0 is going to be coming out probably in February now, maybe even March. But in the meantime, I will be offering a cheaper access to the existing version because it is a little bit dated in a few of the Amazon specific details, just how Seller Central is laid out really. But the actual basic principles and strategies and tactics, even in 90% of it, even 95% of it is still very relevant. So I'm going to be offering that at a reduced price. And then if you get that, you'll be able to get access to the new version when it comes out for free as well. So just look out for emails and listen out for podcasts about that. But if you want to check out the PLP course, go to amazingfba.com/PLP. That's P for private, L for label, and P for process. Amazingfba.com/PLP. Sorry to be putting a few different URLs. I'm not trying to create a pitch fest here, but I sometimes feel that it's without being pitchy about it, I ought to remind people of what I do have to offer them if it's relevant, because it could be very helpful if it's relevant for you. Just in the spirit of that, if you wanted to explore the 10K Collective Mastermind, which meets once a month in London, England, occasionally we go to Barcelona once a year. It's not like a rigid thing, but it's becoming a bit of a tradition to do that, as one of our members lives out there. It's a cool place to visit. Very, very cool. Then if you want to check that out, go to amazingfba.com/10KC, 10K for kilo, C for Charlie. That's about it for me. I hope you found the process useful, the start, stop, and keep list. Really great practice. So if you just sit down for yourself and consider what you're going to do for your business this year with a start, stop, and keep list, it will be a very, very helpful discussion tool for yourself and your team and or any coach or mastermind that you're working with. Thanks very much for listening, and speak to you in the next show.
That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few. Then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.